Good morning, everybody. If you want to come gather a little closer, we'll have a short service this morning. Not everybody at once. Please don't rush the area. If you want to come up, let's pray, and then Jesse's going to start us out. Y'all thought I was about to sing and Jesse play. We need to do that one day. Jesse, go ahead and strike up the band. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the beautiful weather. Again, we thank you for your provision. God, I believe, I'm going to pray this in advance, that there's going to be many, many coming to your kingdom from this gathering spot. Again, this isn't our church. The church is the people that you see gathered around. Jesus, you are the head of this church, and we thank you for your leadership, your guidance, life on the trail as we followed you here and into a new adventure, a new spot, a new place to set up camp. And God, it's not about the gathering place. It's about the people that you gather together to be family. And so I actually heard that a couple of times today. I'm thankful for that. Folks just saying to me, this is my family. And God, that's what we've always desired to create, was a family atmosphere. Gathered around the table, breaking bread with one another, fellowshipping with one another, worshiping with one another. And so, Jesus, you are the reason for all of this. You're the reason that we sing. You're the reason that we fellowship. You're the reason that we listen to the word, participate in that. And so, God, just thank you. Pray your blessings over this place. Pray your blessings over this city, and that you draw more into your kingdom through this gathering spot as we meet as a family of God. And so we love you. We thank you. Just pray that you be with us in this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right.
Escape you, I could lay my head in Sheol.
won't stop coming after me. Your heart won't stop coming after me. Oh, your heart won't stop coming after me. Your heart won't stop coming after me. Your heart won't stop coming after me.
Amen to that. That is good, good, good news. Well, my hands are freezing. And it's hard to play the guitar when your hands are freezing. But I'm just going to suffer through. So good news today. Good news that a lot of us probably feel like we don't belong here. Like we don't deserve a warm plate of food or good fellowship. A lot of us feel probably like we deserve to sleep in an alley or in a car or under a bridge. But I have really good news for you. Jesus would say different. And we continue to show up out here because we're curious, aren't we? We're suspicious that this good news just might be true. That Jesus would chase us down in spite of all the shit that we've done, right? That he would keep coming after us. Because buried beneath all the mess that we find ourselves in is a beautiful heart. A heart of flesh, not a heart of stone. Something very valuable that's worth pursuing and worth rescuing. And Jesus sees that. He sees all the mess that it covers over it. And he seeks to unearth something valuable and something beautiful in you. And he's not going to stop. He's not going to stop pursuing you. He's not going to stop coming after you. And he doesn't care what you do, what you've done. He don't care how bad you think you are. He's seen worse. All he cares about is that beauty that's buried beneath all the mess. Some of us are starting to be suspicious that that might be true. Yeah? Yeah. Some of us are starting to ask questions. Maybe the gospel really is as beautiful as we thought it was. So Jesus, we just consecrate this time to you. We just pray that today maybe we're just tired enough to let the pursuit end. And we're just curious enough to stumble into the kingdom of God and allow ourselves to be rescued. Allow ourselves to be loved on and cared for. You descend upon me like a rolling stone, like a black swan raging on for all that I know. You know it unnerves me when I lose control, and I'm all out of options and I'm out of my head, so I build my
life around. Someone who I thought that I was, but it turns out all the things I do to feel young, they only make me old. But you raise me like a baby, like a fiery phoenix bird. Oh, and you lift me up like Lazarus, and you love me like death in reverse. You unearth me like a vein of gold with powers that drive up the flowers from the fold. You cast me uncursed on earth, my body and my soul. Fire from my ashes, like fire from my coals. Then I build my life around someone who I thought that I was, but it turns out all the things I do to feel young, they only make me old. But you raise me like a baby, like a fiery phoenix bird. Oh, and you lift me up like Lazarus, and you love me like death, you love me like death, you love me like death in reverse. For a place I could thrive, but it turns out all the things I do to survive, they only make me old. But you raise me like a baby, like a fiery phoenix bird.
Hello. That works when you turn it on. All right. Well, good morning, everybody. First Sunday at the new spot. Remember to keep spreading the word with folks. I was thinking back, it's been a while since I've actually taught. Thinking back to the old spot, and I remember Jesse played and taught on December the 15th. Jack taught in a downpour on the 22nd, and then the 29th, we kind of just gathered around and talked about coming here. So it's good to open the word with you this morning. I'll try to be quick, but I believe God has something for us to say. The last time I talked, it was funny. I opened my Bible. I still had some notes. And we were talking about oneness with God. And this would have been back on December the 8th and walking with Him in the faith of Hebrews 11. And then even getting into the faith that is talked about in James 1. But I just want to celebrate that God is good, because as we talked on December the 8th, when I talked with you last over at the other place, we had no idea where we were going to go. In fact, we didn't know, you know, we were just trusting that a spot would open up. And I shared with you James 1. I've got those notes with me this morning where I had written down from the message James 1, I want to read this to you again just real quick, and let's celebrate together the goodness of God. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true color. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. If you don't know what you're doing, anybody here not know what they're doing? If you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get His help and won't be condescended to when you ask for it. Ask boldly, believing without a second thought. People who worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. Don't think you're going to get anything from the Master that way. Adrift at sea, keeping all your options open. I think back to that and I think of the praying boldly, and here we are. As the last time I talked, we had no idea where we're going, but yet God provides, right? This new spot that we had faith and we prayed expectantly and God came through. So I just wanted to celebrate that with you as we started out today. Today, as we think about the new year, I could do a corny dad joke here and say that I haven't seen y'all since last year, right? And that would be a corny dad joke, but it's also true. And so with a new year comes this new mindset, and people always come to what? A new year's what? Resolution. Resolute. We're resolved. We stand firm for about a week, right? Anybody ever been there? You made a resolution, and I'm standing firm in this. This is going to be the year that I cut back on weight. Man, those Twinkies look good. And it's over. Before it ever starts, it's over. But yet the word itself, resolute, firm, fixed, I will not be moved for a week. I want to challenge you this morning, though, that maybe more so than a New Year's resolution, I was reminded by a good friend of many of ours, a guy by the name of Chris Rowe. If you don't know who Chris is, he's a bald guy like myself with a long goatee, and he stands and says awesome things to many of us, has done that before at Intermark. In fact, he was involved in the beginning of this journey. I sat down and had lunch with him with Jesse, and Jesse and I sit across, and it was actually one of the first times I'd ever met Chris. And church at Southside was a much different church at the time. We had started as a house church, grew to needing a building. We were at the building. You guys were on our hearts. We couldn't get you to us, so God put on our hearts to come to you. And I told Chris about that, and I remember, if any of you've sat with Chris anytime, he's got this weird kind of mischievous grin about him, and he said these words, "This could be an epic failure." And he just kind of smiled. And something about that smile encouraged me that because it, in man's terms, it could be considered an epic failure, there was something that excited me that wanted to do it even more so. And he reminded us this week, he said from a friend, he gave us something here, and he said that more so than about a resolution, a friend of his, Tal Prince, I don't know Tal, but I know his words inspired me this week. He wrote this, that God is far less concerned over our resoluteness or resolve and more so over our resignation. We picture the word resignation and we think that's a bad word, that it means to quit or something like this, but that we must in a new year resign ourselves to understand that without God we can't do anything. That I resign myself to saying that on my own I'm no good. I'm adored by the King, but in my flesh I can't do anything apart from God. In fact, Jesus tells us this in John 15. He says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear not only fruit, but much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing." So I'm here to tell you this morning that much more important than our resoluteness, our resolve, is our resignation. I want to challenge you then, in the light of this resignation over resolve, I want to share with you the words of Paul that he wrote to the church at Corinth. You see, Paul is this amazing character. In fact, I had just an amazing conversation with a great friend, John Littleford. He's the state of Alabama's only Minnesota Vikings fan, you can see over here, and has a striking resemblance. John, if you'll turn to the crowd and look up at Alexander Shinar and down at John, a striking resemblance. Call me Alabama. Call me Minnesota. John Littleford, one of my best friends, dear friend, was talking to me just about what Jesse was singing about, of God chasing after us and not quitting, and the fact that no matter what we've done, He comes to us with relationship not at stake. He's saying, He's inviting you in. When He meets this guy named Saul, Saul is persecuting his church. He's going after them, wanting to destroy this very thing. But God intersects him. Jesus in the flesh intersects him and says this. He knows his name, by the way. Says it twice. Saul, Saul, why are you doing this to me? Why are you doing this? Like, there's such a better way. Why are you doing this? And so this man, Paul, after this amazing encounter, now one who was persecuting the way, can you imagine this calling in life that Paul is this persecutor of the way and now he's called to proclaim the way? That's a big flip. And it wasn't necessarily a resolution, it was a resignation to saying, my life is void without you, it's empty without you. There's a better way. You're right, Jesus, there is a better way. I choose you. I challenge you this morning, instead of a resolution, would you resign yourself to saying, I can't do it on my own anymore. There's got to be a better way. And so one of the greatest people in all of Scripture, this dramatic conversion, Saul, he's met with Jesus and Saul, Saul, why do you do this? And then he's writing the church at Corinth, the second letter, and he's talking about this thorn in the flesh that he has. You've heard that about Paul. And many have speculated either this was the persecution that he was facing. Some have speculated that it was his guilt over the persecution. Some temptations, depression, a physical ailment or sickness. But no matter what the thorn was or your belief of what it was, his response is what matters most. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he addresses this thorn in the flesh in this way. And we see Paul's resignation to the Savior, Jesus. He says this in 2 Corinthians 12, starting at verse 7. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations that he's been given, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But listen to God's response. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weakness, insult, hardships, persecution, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. A couple of things I want to point out in closing. His grace is sufficient for you this morning. Whatever you're going through, whatever thorn in the flesh you have, be it temptation, be it addiction, be it affliction, His grace is sufficient. If you don't believe me, then say yes and just sit at the table and see. He's waiting for you. There is relationship. It is available for you. Some of you say, I can't do this or I can't do that. You're in perfect company. Think of the man that is saying these words. He persecuted the way and now called to proclaim it. From persecutor to proclaimer. The I used to be fill in the blank does nothing for me. I want to tell you this. The very man who, think about this, the life change. That when people would see him coming and say, isn't this the guy that was coming after us? And now he's standing and saying, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He was the one wanting to kill us over this. There is no dramatic, more dramatic conversion. I want to tell you that Jesus' grace is sufficient enough to see someone walking down the road that could say in their story, yes, I used to be an addict, but now I'm not. His grace was sufficient for me. I used to be one that said I was an atheist, I don't believe in God, but now I say He's the real deal. I used to say I was no good, but now I say I'm a child of the King. Do you get what I'm saying? His grace is sufficient for you. Why? because His power is made perfect in weakness. Could it be that your weakness is the very thing that God uses to show His strength to this city? I want you to know, people have broke their neck this morning driving by, seeing what's going on. God has a reason that we are here. People are taking notice. This is the family of God. This is church. Jesus is the head of this thing. And He's planted us in this place and this time for a reason. And could it be that He looks down and the city looks down, and in our weakness, which we have plenty, starting with me, that His strength is made perfect? When I am weak, I am strong. I want to ask you a question in closing this morning. Anyone know who Anna Bartlett Warner is? Does anybody know that name? Anna Bartlett Warner. I see one person, but I will tell you this. Her words were put into a melody of one of the first songs, probably if you ever had any time in church, you sang. Jesus loves me, this I know. There was a principle in this of elementary truth that her words later set to this music will still speak to us, and is speaking the very words that Paul is saying here. They are weak, but He is strong. You've sang it or heard it all your life, but maybe this new year is a place of resignation where for the first time you shed the excuse of, no, I've done this or I've done that or I'm an addict or I'm this, of laying your weakness down and saying, I'm going to allow that to make me strong. I resign myself to saying, apart from Him, I can do nothing, but with Him, I can do anything for His glory. But as adults, we shed that moniker of, I'm weak, but He is strong, and we grow up and we've got to have resolve. We've got to fix everything. We've got to be resolved. We've got to grow up strong, and that's all sissy stuff there. I can't say that I'm weak. Let me tell you, men, look at me specifically. We don't like to say we're weak, but can I tell you this? That's the very thing that God wants to use, your weakness made strong. To lay it down, to resign ourselves, and to say that Jesus have your way in me. So instead of resolution, I say we aim for resignation, that we resign for our need for Jesus, and then in our weakness, let Him show His strength. The resignation that Jesus would need you. In 2020, wouldn't that be a wonderful place for the church at Southside and us as individuals in it to start? 2020, I resign myself to saying, Jesus, I cannot do it without You. I need You as Lord and Savior. I need You to lead me. I need You to guide me. I need You to lead this church. I need You to guide this church. Jesus, we give up everything over to You. Have Your way in us. That's where I want to start 2020. I'm asking You to come with me. Anybody in with that? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time. We thank You for the idea that we can lay down everything and gain it all back and then some. That in our weakness, Jesus, You show strength. In our weakness of coming to You, the men that are in this crowd specifically, that think right there, that's the weakest thing I've ever heard, would You just place on their heart through Your Holy Spirit that it's actually the strongest thing that they can do as a man is to bow the knee and say, Jesus, I'm in with You. I lay everything down at Your feet. I give You it all. I'm going to live my life through You. That is the greatest resignation they can ever make in their life. I pray that 2020, over the church at Southside and us as individuals in it, that Jesus, You help us to have a spirit of resignation, to lay down everything and say, we can't do it without You. Jesus, You're everything we need. You're all we need. The rest will fall into place with You, Jesus. That's what we pray over our hearts. That's what we pray over this body. That's what we pray over the cars passing by wondering about this new thing they're seeing in this place. We pray that this city catches the message. Use our weakness to show Your strength. Use the weakness in this body to promote Your gospel, Your message, Jesus. In this city and beyond, that You use us. Start with us, God. Let us lay everything down. And say, man, if they can get it, if this group of people coming together can get it, Father, You're going to spread it all throughout, starting in our city and beyond. that we resign and give ourselves over. Jesus, we confess, without you, we can't do it. We need you. Come into our hearts and life. If there's a person here that hasn't met you, that today is a day, for the first time, it makes sense through your Holy Spirit that they need to lay it down and pick you up. And Jesus, after that, those that maybe have done so, but for years have walked another way and said, oh, that was childish games, that was child's play, that they pick you back up and say, I think they're serious. Like Jesse said, there's something suspicious about it. I believe that it might be true. Would you just let them take a seat at your table and just take a taste of Jesus and see that you are good? So Jesus, we love you. Without you, we are nothing. Apart from you, we are nothing. So we're in with you. In 2020, we say, more so than ever, we lay it down and say, would you just in our weakness, would you make yourself evident, Jesus? We love you. We need you. This is all about you. We spread your name. We spread your love, your grace, your mercy, compassion, for starting right here in this spot and blocks beyond and in this city and beyond. Jesus, we spread your name. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. We pray and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, Mary's going to say a quick word and then